All right, welcome to another episode of Everyday Ecclesiology. I don't have the episode number in front of me. I think it's 29. That's just a guess. Doesn't matter. You look tired.
Just my neck again.
Oh, yeah. Well, we have been outside in the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So we missed another week.
Oh, yep.
Hang on. I forgot my whole intro. I don't have notes in front of me. I forget everything.
So you need to say who you are.
Well, I'll start different. This podcast has four segments. Who we are, what we're doing, what we're learning, and what we're reading.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Daniel Greenhall.
And I'm Desiree Greenhall.
And our goal in this podcast is to explore what it looks like for laymen within the local church to be faithful members of the local church, or be faithful members of one another,
mm-hmm.
or properly view their local church and understand their local church.
Mm-hmm.
Those type of things. Ecclesiological issues, hence the name Everyday Ecclesiology.
Yep.
So today, well, we'll get to what we're learning on segment three. What are we doing? We've been outside.
Yeah, we had like a cold week, and now we're having a hot week.
Yeah, it's like, it hit 87 yesterday,
according to our clock. We're outside a lot. Yeah. Hey, if anybody wants to recommend a good sunscreen for little kids, that would be good, because I lathered up my daughter, went out, and in the span of 10 minutes, she was already red, and I'm like,
I thought she was like overheated and like from the sun, from like being hot, but she came back into the shade and she was still a little red. I was like, oh man.
I mean, thankfully it's not a bad burn.
Yeah, she was on the
outside.
But
it was still
minutes.
Like if we let her out there longer, it would have been pretty bad. So, yeah, shoot us an email.
We've also been out playing a little bit of disc golf since, you know, it's what I like to do. Been out putting in the yard too. That was kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
Just throwing a couple.
Working
Sophia's
in the
liking
garden.
It too. Yeah, we got some tomatoes planted.
Yep.
That'll be nice. That might be all we plant this year. We'll see.
Yeah, especially because it hasn't even gotten tilled.
Yeah.
So it's pretty difficult to plant well.
Yeah. We're not sure where and how deep the laterals are for our septic system. Yeah, septic, because sewer is city sewer, our own septic. There we go. So we're not sure how deep the laterals are, and we don't want to hit those with a tiller, obviously.
So this summer, we're just going to plant the plants that we've been dying to have fresh since living in an apartment.
Yep.
And then next summer, I think we'll move the whole garden to the back where we don't have to worry about laterals.
Yep. A little bit better spot, a little bit better ratio of sunlight to shade, I think, depending on where we put it back there.
Well, I'll have to probably be pretty far back because garden's full sun.
Okay.
Unless it's like a flower garden or something.
But we have a lot of room back there.
Yeah.
I actually just took a couple branches down today out of the tree accidentally with a disc.
With your disc?
Yes.
Did you pick them up?
Yes, I did.
Okay,
I put them on the burn
good.
Pile. I was good about it.
Wow.
We've also, actually, since last time, I got a car.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. I got a 2019 Ford Fiesta hatchback, tuxedo black, stick shift.
It's not tuxedo black.
Yes, it is.
Is that what it's actually called?
That's the name of it, tuxedo black.
I never heard that before.
Which looks really great as long as it's freshly washed.
Until there's bird poop on it.
And dust. It
and
shows
then
dust
it's
really
polka
bad.
Polka dot tuxedo.
Yes. But I'm very thankful for it. It's pretty low in miles. Well, that's relative. It's not new, but it's newish. I mean, it's 2019.
But because of that trip is kind of the reason we didn't podcast.
Yes.
Because my
back was terrible.
Was really bad, and I couldn't move around a lot. There's just been a lot of physical things going on with me that I'm like, what's happening to me?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it wasn't because of the new car either that your back was messed up. You had to go
the
old one
the
whole time.
No, I drove the old one home.
Because you're not a stick shift driver yet.
I am learning to drive stick. I really don't like driving in general. So when I already get flustered about things that go on, now adding to that clutching and shifting, I just get flustered even more. So I'm forcing myself to learn, especially because the SUV that we decided to keep is not as reliable and sometimes likes to randomly shut off. So it's good for me if I need to make a trip with Sophia to drive the reliable car, which means I need to know how to drive it.
And you're doing a great job so far.
Which I know how.
Yeah.
I'm just not comfortable with it yet.
Yep. You can go through the motions of doing it, and you can actually get down the road. You're just not fluent at it.
Right.
It's much like riding a bike.
I'm pretty much more nervous about getting to an intersection and killing it and then being like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And people are honking at me from every direction.
Yeah. Because you and I tend to react very differently in situations like that. I'm typically... Not, I haven't always been, but I am typically now much more chill if something goes wrong. Because usually it's not a situation where in 3 seconds you're going to get hit by a semi truck. It's not. Most of the time it's like, oh, okay, now what do I need to do? People might get mad at me, but they'll get over it.
Yeah, I think that's my problem, is caring what other people think. Because typically I am, like, super calm in situations. Mm-hmm. It almost scares me. Like, I should probably be a little more flustered.
But driving is not one of those situations.
Driving is not. Yeah, driving is. Yeah.
I found out a fun fact about the little Fiesta. And not just about Fiestas in general, but that car weighs less than one of the batteries for our pallet jacks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
The entire car weighs less than that pallet jack battery.
Wait, don't you have to lift the batteries up and charge them or something? Or you just plug
in
the pallet
jack? We have a chain fall for it. It's a little remote that lifts it up and sets it back down. So a fully loaded double jack with two pallets of juice weighs like three times what that car weighs.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's hilarious. It's a tiny little car.
Anything else that's been going on?
I'm sure there has been. I can't think of anything.
I can't think of anything either.
We got some coffee while we were up there. Had a fun trip to Minnesota. It was the first time going to Minnesota.
Yeah, we went to the Mall of America, but I was pretty tired.
Yeah.
So we pretty much just like looked at the things we wanted to see and then left. We didn't have time to walk all over. But that's not a big thing that you and I like doing, walking.
No.
So
it was fine. Ate at a new restaurant. It was pretty good. Yeah. I just bought a Ford Fiesta that morning, so I got the Fiesta Burger was the name of the lunch that I got.
On a car high.
Yeah. It's still fun. I enjoy it. I enjoy the engaging experience of driving a stick shift, but I also enjoy the added reliability. And it used to be slightly better gas mileage, but now it's slightly worse gas mileage. But
especially driving through those roads right by the mall. How many wrong turns do we take just trying to... Because there was road work and we didn't know where we were going, and there was like exits for the exits.
Yeah, one of the exits off of the exits had a... Well, I've driven in like Chicago area before, but I grew up in like small town Illinois. So I'm not very used to really busy intersections in unfamiliar areas. So when I got up there, I was reading street signs, which are usually like blue and green. But then the turn for the exit, because there was construction going on, they put a sign for the temporary turn in construction orange. And so I was like, oh, it's a construction sign. I need to not go that way because that's for construction vehicles. But it was actually a temporary rerouting for the exit that I actually wanted to take.
It was crazy.
Yeah. Missed that exit, but eventually got back. I'm very thankful for Google Maps, although I could have done it with a map.
And
I'm
a small car that you could do U-turns in.
Oh, yeah. That was so nice.
You had too much fun with that.
Wasn't driving a little big old boat anymore. It was a tiny little whoop. There's a U-turn. It's legal. Let's go. So that was fun. Got to have a little bit of time in Minneapolis, but mostly Owatonna and a little bit of Rochester area and a little town called Zumbrota, which was nice.
What's in your cup?
Apple juice.
Oh, okay.
Yep. It's a mug. I have a coffee mug with apple juice.
I don't drink apple juice out of mugs.
No, not really, but I didn't want any of the size glasses that we had of apple juice, so I just grabbed a mug.
You didn't want the little one?
No, that was too small. I have to down one and down another one.
That's probably like a serving, though.
Why would I want one serving?
Because it's healthier?
But it's hydrating, right? Apple juice probably is not hydrating.
Probably not.
It's healthy because it's more vitamins in the apples.
Mm.
It's sugar. I wanted the sugar.
Okay.
All right. So that's what we're doing. What are we learning? Do you remember? I mentioned this. We were going to do this last week, but then since your back was out of commission,
I don't remember.
I didn't have a good way to bring podcast stuff up to our bedroom where we could just lay on our backs in our bed and record. So
yeah.
I wanted to chat a little bit about why we included the segment at the end, what we're reading.
Oh, okay.
What's kind of our rationale, our thinking, our impetus? I think that's the right word behind including it. Now I have to Google.
I don't know. It kind of flew over my head.
Impetus.
That's what I said.
Google's being slow here, so hang on.
It's always slow on your phone.
I-M-P-E-T-U-S. See if I spelled that correctly.
You're
going
to have to answer your own
question, though. The force or energy with which a body moves. Is there another definition that I was thinking of? The force that makes something happen or happen more quickly. The crisis of the 1860s provided the original impetus for the settlements. So the driving push behind why we're including the segment.
Oh, okay.
I think that's within the semantic range of the word. That's a correct phrase. It's a proper use of the word, but it might be a stretch. We'll see.
Okay.
Anyway.
You should answer your own question because I have no idea.
You have no idea why we include it?
I mean, I have some form of an idea, but I don't have the words to be able to express it right now.
Okay. Well, in part, because we listen to the Thinklings.
Okay. No. We totally had what we're reading before they added their section.
Yes.
We were first.
We did mention what we had been reading, but it wasn't an official tenured segment. it wasn't a continuing segment yet.
Yes, it was. We were like, oh, we do this at the end every time.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, because I remember thinking that they stole it from us.
Okay. Well, yeah. I know one of the encouragements to keep it going, at least for me, was that the Thinklings do it.
Okay.
But why even do they include things about reading in general? Why are we so concerned about oh, there, the air conditioning shut off. I'm not sure if they could even hear it.
Probably not.
Why do they bother including what they're reading? Why do we want to include what we're reading? Why are we even reading?
Because reading is good for you.
Not inherently. It's not inherent to reading that it is good for you.
Reading good books is good for growing your brain.
It can be, yeah. It's not always. Because some people read scripture with the purpose of tearing it apart.
But it still grows their brain.
It can, yes. Help with their thinking skills, their critical thinking skills. Typically, when someone like that does that, it doesn't really help their critical thinking skills. It might. I don't know. I'll leave that one up in the air.
In some aspect,
yeah.
Reading can help grow your brain. Cultivate the mind. That's one good part of reading.
Yeah.
won't answer anymore. No,
you did a good job.
Wrong.
I was just being more critical to your stuff than I do to mine, which is hard. I do, by the way.
Let's hear your suggestions.
I do, by the way. Listen to these at work, and I get some funny looks when I listen to my own podcast when I'm picking at work. But it's because I do want to pick apart my own statements sometimes. But why do we want to include in a podcast called Everyday Ecclesiology a segment on reading? Why do we ourselves, I'll start with that, keep reading? Well, part of it is because of something that I heard our pastor chatting with somebody about just in passing. He never really chatted with me about it specifically, but it was the concept of continuing education. And growing up, we went to school. You had homeschool, and you also went to
public
high school and college.
Yep.
I read in school. We had to read. It was required that we read books, and that was the way that we learned, was by reading books and interacting with them, discussing them, learning how to interact with them, etc. So even though this person that Pastor Dane was talking to, even though they were out of college, they were still reading books, and Pastor Danny was encouraging them on continuing that path of continuing to educate themselves, continuing to learn, not just, I'm done learning now that I'm done with school. This person wasn't doing that. Pastor Danny was encouraging them with that as well. And that struck me as something that would be important, because at the time I was in college. Mm-hmm. That struck me as something that I'd never thought of before, is I can continue to learn even at the same pace or faster than I did even when I was in college or high school or grade school, if I read, if I interact with it, if I do the same things the teachers have been teaching me to do the whole time. Because yes, teachers were teaching me what a specific poem was saying or what was going on in British literature, or teachers were teaching me how to do math and use math, but what they were teaching me to do was learn and interact with things that I was reading. And even when we were in math class, my phone's on vibrate. PDI wants extra help. even when I was in math, I was learning, as I was taking that math class, how to read a math textbook, understand what it was saying, and apply it to my own life.
Mm-hmm.
All of it throughout schooling was learning how to read a book and apply it to my life. In short, there were other things that go along with that. And you don't skip from reading to applying. There's an interpretation in there as well.
Yeah.
But that concept of continuing education, even after I was done with school, doesn't mean I have to be done with learning. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we continue to read, because that is a very helpful and very long established and oftentimes one of the most profitable methods of learning. There are other ways to learn, certainly.
Yeah.
I can watch Desiree in the Kitchen. I can watch a YouTube video.
I can sit in a stick shift.
I can listen manual. To a podcast. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of different things that you can do to learn, but reading is one of the most profitable. Now, I know there can be some pushback on that, and some people might say, well, I get more out of a YouTube video than I do out of a book, and you may, but you might want to push yourself, because I think you can oftentimes get more out of a book than out of a YouTube video.
Well, and is it because you haven't trained yourself in reading and getting more from a book?
Which is where I was.
Just sat and been like, well, yeah. I can watch it. It's easier.
Because you might be able to currently, for instance, I'll use myself as an example. 2 years ago, I was much better at getting information out of a YouTube video than I was at getting information out of a book. But that doesn't mean that watching that YouTube video was even more profitable than reading a book. Because reading that book would have definitely engaged my mind a lot more than watching a YouTube video with fancy animations and background music to distract me and help me enjoy it, much more than engaging my brain with what was going on. Those things can be helpful with conveying a point, for instance, in a movie. I've mentioned this before, I'm sure, but the music and the style of videography and the shots that they use are all parts of telling the story just as much as, if not more than, the dialogue in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But they can also be used to distract from dialogue and plot that's actually terrible.
Yeah.
Because some people will love a movie, but when you really break it down and explain, hey, here's the plot and here's the lines that the actors use, it's terrible. Case in point, soap operas on work at, on the TV at work. Man, I was sitting with somebody one day, and everybody knows, well, most of the people at work think the soap operas are dumb.
Okay.
But then there are some people that still enjoy them, but I was sitting next to somebody else that also thought it was dumb, and he couldn't quite put his finger on, why is this so dumb? Like, it's not real life. I know that. I was like, if you want to know if something is really as captivating as it seems, because sometimes it seems like it's dumb, but I can't look away, just imagine that soap opera without the music.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many gaps, so many long silences that in real life would be insanely awkward.
Mm-hmm.
And really dumb. And everything, their arguments that seem so intense in the moment are really stupid. And easily, what was the term we used for? There's a straw man argument. They're easily pulled apart.
Yeah.
You can easily wipe the foundation off if you're not distracted by the background music and the cinematography. And even the cinematography in them isn't that great. So, long story short, sometimes reading a book can be more profitable, not simply because you can get more information out of it, because you may actually get less straight information out of it, but it's profitable in more ways than just mining information.
Well, and we're talking more of a lifestyle, not mm-hmm. just, I'm going to make a quesadilla, I'm going to watch a YouTube video
Correct.
Quick.
Correct.
Because I'm sure people would be like, but this situation means...
Yes.
Yeah.
That's correct, and that's a good caveat that I should add and haven't thought about, is that there are certain situations where seeing a thing can also be very helpful. But on the whole, if I typically, as a practice, go toward a video or a movie for entertainment even, versus a book for entertainment, that can say something about me, how I want to be entertained and how active I want to be and how much I want to grow my mind. Now, there can be a whole lot more involved in that. I'm not saying never watch a movie, always read a book. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying watching a movie is always a worse decision than reading a book. I'm not saying that either. Thank you for backing me off a little bit. I wasn't going down that road, but I would have forgotten to add my helpful caveats in. So we want to include reading as a part of our regular lives, and we haven't gotten there yet. I read a book and a half of the 100 Cupboard series, and then I haven't read for like another week.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, I just haven't been doing it. I've been doing other stuff, getting outside, playing disc golf, going to work, enjoying my new car, that type of thing. But we also want to encourage other people, every layman within the local church, to also continue educating themselves in some form. You may not have to put it in those terms, but to continue learning and to continue reading as a means of learning. That doesn't have to be reading as the exclusive means of learning, like I said, but you should be using reading as a means of learning. And I know there are people that are blind, they can still read. I know there are people that are deaf or whatever, but you can still read, you can still intake information. And I'm not talking about odd cases. I'm saying on the whole, as a general rule, I think it would be very beneficial for people if they would include reading as a general, regular part of their lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Because, well, for one, we should be reading scripture. We should be intaking scripture. We should be learning from scripture. I'm not saying it can never be an audiobook. I'm not saying we can't ever listen to scripture reading.
Or watch those awesome TV shows based off the Bible.
Oh, dear. But I think reading it can be profitable in a different way that engages your mind in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So can audiobooks. It engages it in a different way. Sometimes it's more profitable. Sometimes it's less profitable.
I think it depends on the type of scripture. Like if mm-hmm. it's a... descriptive.
Mm-hmm.
I love listening to it.
Mm-hmm.
If it's prescriptive, it's probably better for me to be able to read it and focus, go back, read it again, study it.
If I'm just listening to an audiobook of Romans as I'm working, I'm not going to be able to devote near enough brain power, and I can't vary the tempo. like I might need to be able to break apart Paul's concepts. Because one, I might be able to grab very quickly, but another might take me a second to wrestle through and understand what the statement meant. For instance, we've walked through and looked at the Lord's Supper, and there was a statement in there that I mentioned, I have no idea what this means. I'll have to get back to it. And it was when Paul said, I've heard that there are divisions among you, and in part, I believe it, and in fact, there must be, so that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. Something to that effect. That was a very heavy paraphrase, but it was pretty close. And I was like, I don't know what Paul's getting at. Well, something like that might take me longer. If I'm just listening to it, it'd be very easy for me to breeze over it, because the narrator's continuing to talk, whether I am still struggling with a previous thought or not. And I might even miss it, never go back to it. But if I'm reading it, I can stop, I can take a moment to think about it, and I can engage my brain in that way.
Yeah.
But so that's why we want to encourage reading as opposed to other things. But what else do I need to cover? How are we continuing
our
education
for laymen to further their education in reading?
For the same reason that I went to college is how I'm going to answer that question. When I went to college, before I went to college, I was debating whether I should go and what degree I should pursue. And so I ended up I thought, I don't know if I'm called to ministry or not. Now, I'm not going to define what that means. That's for another podcast entirely on what is the call to ministry. Is there subjective things? Are there objective things? Does God audibly call a person? I'm going to say no. But what does it look like? How does God, let me put it in these terms. If someone is in ministry, it's because God put them there.
Are you talking about calling to ministry? Because I thought you said you were going to talk about that another time.
Yeah, but I feel like I should say a couple sentences about it.
Okay.
If a person is in ministry, it's because since God is sovereign, he has put them there. But that's not necessarily how we define call to ministry. But anyway, that is for another time. Okay, I'll stop. Because I could really go off on a tangent, and I don't need to. So I wasn't sure if God wanted me to pursue pastoral ministry or not. But I thought, I'm going to go ahead and sign up and do a year at Faith and figure out if I am called to ministry later. Because even if I get through 4 years of college and find out I really shouldn't pursue pastoral ministry, what's the worst that happens? I'll spend 4 years learning about the God I want to serve.
Right. You take Bible classes. Yeah. You learn how to speak in public.
Yeah.
All good things.
Yeah. I mean, I could waste the time at Faith, but that's not what I was going into it for. So it was fine.
Right.
So for that reason, I wanted to learn more about God no matter what happened. I wanted to be able to understand how I can serve God better as well, which I thought to serve in the church meant you had to be a pastor or a deacon at the time, which hence this podcast. But for that same reason, I think people should continue reading because they need to continue learning about the God they want to serve. So not the exact same reason, but a very similar vein of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what you're doing in your life, you need to be learning more about the God you're serving, because you ought to be serving him with every moment of every day, no matter whether that means standing up and preaching on a Sunday, whether that means going to work on a Monday through Friday or Saturday or however many days you work. For some, it's Sunday to Sunday because they don't really have a choice. Whether it's coming home and changing a poopy diaper.
Ooh.
Yeah. We had a blowout this morning. It was great. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to do it. I was thankful. But things like that, all of life things are in service to God and are, I would argue, tied to your local church, though not as tight as being tied to the service to Christ. However, we want to be learning more about what it can look like in all of these situations to serve God. We want to be learning more about who he is so we can enjoy him. I'll use a little bit of Piper logic here, which isn't new to Piper. He took it from Scripture, but it's easier to enjoy God and enjoy serving him even if we understand who he is and get to enjoy the beauty and the wonder of his holiness. That's part of what we're seeing in the catechism even as we're walking through it. And reading is one way to do that. Now, you might ask, but Daniel, not all your books are theological that you share when you're reading. So why are you reading other stuff? Because you could be reading theological things. So why do you include books like 100 Cupboards in your what we're reading? Why is that a part of your reading? Why aren't you reading something more like The God in the Whirlwind or The Art of Neighboring or something like that? Well, not everything that we read has to be theological. And I would argue it's better to not make everything we read only theological. That kind of goes against reading broadly, which is a topic for another time. I think we should read broadly. But what do I mean by that? Don't take that out of context. There's a specific thing that I mean like by that. But one of the things I mean by that is don't read one genre of book. Right?
Yeah. Why?
Because it's not as good for your brain, your thinking, and even your argumentation and your understanding of what's going on in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and even interpreting the author's worldview can be helpful as you think on it and evaluate comparing to scripture. Why is this right? Why is this wrong? Why is this bad guy considered bad? Why is the good guy considered good? Is it according to scripture good and bad? And those types of things.
And even if I was only going to read purely theological textbooks, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's say I've decided that that is the most profitable. Excuse me. So all I'm going to read is theological textbooks. Well, in that case, I wouldn't read Psalms. I wouldn't read Song of Songs. I probably wouldn't read Proverbs because it's not strictly a theological textbook.
Mm.
Even within Scripture, we have varied genres, many and varied genres. Revelation is apocalyptic. That's a different genre. Epistles are a different genre, which a lot of those include a lot of theology, but it's not a purely theological textbook. So I would miss a lot of those. I would miss a lot of the beauty incorporated in the different writing styles. That's one other argument. Now again, you can take that too far, and that can look a lot of different ways, but you can also take it not far enough and say, well, I am only gonna read theological textbooks, or I am only gonna read fantasy, which is a problem, and that's an easy one to see. So we include what we're reading for a couple of things. One, because we are reading, that helps to be able to share. Otherwise, we would say, well, what are we reading? It's nothing, and we'd move on, and that'd be kind of boring.
Yeah.
But two, because we find it very helpful for our walk with Christ, for our relationship to our local church, to be reading about those things and about other things. For instance, some of the books that I'm reading 100 Cupboards, not just because I wanted to experience and understand N.D. Wilson's point of view. I do, but also because a couple of other kids in our church have read that, and I want to be able to interact with them about that and ask them the type of questions, not exactly the questions I'm going to ask our kids down the road, but I also want to ask them what they think of the good guy. What do they think of the bad guy? What do they think of even writing style, and have something else to chat with them about. Now, again, you can take that type of logic many different ways, but this is one thing that I thought was helpful and can lead to conversations about good, evil, even about writing style, even about how they think this character should have acted in the situation. Is this character guiltless? What do they do wrong? What could they have done better? What does that have any implications for our lives? Those type of questions. How did I get there?
You're listing the reasons we include the segment.
Yeah.
And I have one whenever you're done.
Okay. Because it can be helpful with even our interactions with other people within the local church, even something like fantasy, but definitely something like The Art of Neighboring can be very helpful with our conversations with other people. And even books like What is a Healthy Church and What is a Healthy Church Member, very applicable to local church things. And I want to also be able to encourage other local church members to continue reading, continue their education.
Yeah.
What was yours?
Including the segment also encourages me to make time to read, because I know...
That's true.
I know early on I was like, I haven't read anything since last time. And I feel like I said that several times.
Yeah,
but
me too.
Now it's like, oh, they're going to know whether I've read. So,
which fights the same battle of, do we want to, at the church I grew up at, we had a read through the Bible in a year program, and we had a wall of who did it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that can be both helpful and harmful.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was bad. I think that I had a bad heart about it sometimes, because I was like, I want my name on the wall, so I'm going to read this. I'm going to power through it. I'm not going to learn anything, but I'm going to get it done so that I look good.
Yeah.
Which can also be a battle that we fight sometimes, at least me, of, well, I got to read something so that they know I've read something, which is good that I've read something. And sometimes it's the extra push that I need to actually read something, and I do, in the end, go, oh, man, I'm very glad I read. Every time I read, I'm like, oh, I'm very glad I actually took the time to read. But I do still have to continue to work on the heart motivation, but it is still helpful to include, because then we can say, hey, I mean, it's not accountability. I didn't want to put the word out there because it's not what it is, but I'll put the word out there as something that it's not. Does that make sense? Am I distracting you with the
okay.
cable?
Yeah, you're sorry.
It's not for accountability. I'm not going to tie this to accountability. And I don't want you to do that either, because that's not what I'm trying to communicate. But it does put a little bit of pressure on to say, well, are you reading? Because there are people that are going to know. Mm-hmm. And maybe to you, that's how you define accountability. But that wasn't our purpose. But it is.
No.
In the same way that Paul said to, in one of his epistles, man, I should have looked this up beforehand. But he said, follow me as I follow Christ. I want to put my life out there as an example, not a perfect one, but of one that's seeking after following Christ. And even part of that includes reading to learn more about him. And maybe it'll be an encouragement to you as well when we're like, oh, we haven't read since last time. They're like, ha, they are real people, which hopefully you know that by now.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Was there anything else I wanted to include or anything else you think we should include? Other reasons? I'm sure there are other reasons that we do read and even include the segment.
It's good for Sophia to see us taking time to sit down and read books because she'll develop, well, she already, as a human and as a child, already has a love of reading. Like you can see that when we do book time. But
it's helpful because not all kids do.
As she grows, we can help her not lose that love for books as she sees, oh, my parents love just sitting having an hour of reading time in the evenings.
Which
sometimes she plays with toys. Other times she'll sit on the couch and read her book.
Which sometimes can be a, oh, mom and dad do this. That's a fuddy-duddy thing. I don't want to do it, but we'll fight that battle when it comes.
Yeah. I do need to make sure I don't use reading as an excuse to get away from playing with her or something, because sometimes I'll sit on the couch and she'll want to play and she'll be like, mom, don't read now. And that probably doesn't help her continue a love for reading.
Yeah. But once she can actually understand what's going on and jump into a story or jump into a theological book.
I've been
book
saying love for reading. I mean love for learning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. So that's some of the reasons why we include it, to both show you what we want to be doing and also encourage you to continue reading, but also encourage you that some weeks we get through a chapter and that's all we get through. So that's going to do it for this week on what we're learning. So now, what are we reading?
I'm still working through the Wing Feather Saga. I am enjoying it. You're
more on book three now.
I'm on book three and I'm really into it. I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything more than I'm into it and I like it? Anything about the style you didn't like but now appreciate more or misunderstood? You going to save that for the end?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a lot for me to think about right now.
Okay. I am still in 100 Cupboards. I have read a couple more chapters since the last podcast.
And you just got a stack of books from Pastor today.
Yes. I did get 5 more books to read. I'll be teaching on the Lord's Supper. Ha. in a little while. So he gave me a couple of books to prep on, gave me a kind of a, hey, these are the types of things we want to hit on. And so I'm prepping for that. I'm pretty excited for it. It's very
different.
I would
be nervous about having to answer people's questions.
Well, I can also be careful and intentional with what questions I ask.
I don't have
to necessarily say, hey, does anybody have any questions at all?
Yeah,
I can
that's true.
Do more of a, hey, let me ask you this question and we'll open it up. Which there's always the possibility of someone going, well, I don't really have an answer, but here's my question.
Right.
Which happens.
Yeah.
And especially for a Pastor Danny is fine. But the worst that happens is I say, that is a good question. I haven't thought about that one. Let me write it down. I'll pass it on to Pastor
ask
Danny.
Ask Pastor Danny next week.
Because, I mean, they understand that this isn't what I do full time.
Right.
And I hope, I definitely don't have all the answers for all the things. So. It's not a problem to do that.
I'm really glad you get to have an opportunity to teach because that's a good example to the other men in the church that, hey, laymen can share the load when pastor's on vacation.
And we have some very capable laymen within our church, too.
You don't have to go to college for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to be knowledgeable in God's word.
Yeah.
Be willing to learn.
And we have many men there, some who went to faith, some who never went to college at all, who are very knowledgeable and very able to teach.
Yeah.
If they wanted to, or if they had the opportunity to, who I'm sure would be excellent. And some that have, and it's been a blessing. So I'm very thankful for that. But it does mean more reading. Mm-hmm. Several books on Lord's Supper, some of which I've mentioned before, so I won't go through the list of those. I'm still reading, like I said, 100 Cupboards, book 2, which is Dandelion Fire. Mm-hmm. So I'm about halfway through the trilogy. A little over halfway through the trilogy. Although I haven't seen the thickness of the third book, but I'm over halfway through the second, which means I'm over halfway through the trilogy.
Yep.
It's still good. It could be hard to follow for younger kids because it jumps around a lot. And apparently one section is told from the perspective of like a fly or a frog watching the battle. I haven't gotten there yet.
So, oh, you've just heard about it?
Yeah. I'm talking with a guy at work about it. But I'm enjoying that still. Looking forward to getting the rest of the way through it, finishing it up, and chatting with a guy at work about it who has read it before and wants to chat with me about it once I finish, but doesn't want to spoil anything. We've finished Narnia, like I've said before.
Yep.
And that episode, we have a guest.
Yes.
Two guests. I'm pretty excited for. We'll see how our microphone setup works there, but we'll figure something out. It'll sound well enough. I'll record all on the same device so we don't have weird issues like we've had before.
Yeah.
But we'll get it worked out. It might not be pristine audio. Of course, neither is this, but it'll be listenable and not painful to the ear. I promise. I'll make a commitment on that one. But we're excited to have them on, and we'll introduce them when they actually get here. Anything else? I think that's it. Unless you can think of another book. All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up. Thanks for listening, tuning in, even if you just skipped around and only listened to parts of the episode. Thank you. I forgot what I was going to say. So until next time, keep serving or start serving within your local church. Bye.
Bye.